Education and healthcare reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dr. Rick Holm is with us now. You can tune in to On Call with the Prairie Doc tonight, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain on SDPB-TV, or stream it on Facebook on the Prairie Doc Facebook page. Dr. Holm, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori.
All right. Tonight,
you're very welcome. This is a pleasure.
Tonight's show, Men's Health. Is that who are your guests?
Well, we have Dr. Eugene Park and Nate Bockholt, and they're two urology experts from Sioux Falls, urology associates, and it's a pre-recorded show. We did it last fall sometime, and we're rerunning it because to fill in a time where our students are gone this summer.
Right.
And it's a great show. It's wonderful to talk with these two guys about urology issues, you know, the prostate and bladder and men's issues and fertility. And it's a great show. It's fun.
We were listening to a piece just a few minutes ago about how sometimes in small towns it can be hard to talk to your doctor because you might see them in church, you might, you know, have another relationship, you know, with your doctor. Let's talk a little bit about how important it is, however, to, you know, really bring up issues that maybe you might feel a little uncomfortable talking about.
You know, I disagree. I took care of people and men in my smaller community of Brookings. And part of the joy of it was to know these people very well. And many of my buddies, you know, in the Lake Ponset Sailing Academy, for example, were my patients, you know. And you know what? You're more accountable if they know you. And if you're sensitive to their, you know, if you know them very well.
Yeah.
And in a little community, you know, as a physician, you see everybody in the grocery store and on Main Street and, you know, at Cook's Kitchen where I do my reading and writing. And I just think when you're in the big city, they don't know you, you don't know them. And that's maybe okay too, but I think living in a smaller community is a beautiful thing, and physicians are more accountable that way.
Yeah, there's a relational aspect to it as well. So tell us a little bit about some of the topics, as this is a rebroadcast. Where do you want to begin with some of the big issues here?
Well, you know, men are a different bird than the female species. You know, we're just different. And when guys come in to see me, and oftentimes they come in with their wives urging. Sometimes they come in with their wives. They are less able to really speak out about their health issues. They're more private.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when a guy says, "My back's hurting," sometimes it's, you know, the farm is in trouble because there's a tariff and I'm not getting the money that I need to be able to buy the equipment that I need.
Yeah.
Or they're saying, "I'm depressed, but, you know, I don't want to admit being depressed. That's a girl thing. I'm a tough guy. I would never admit to being depressed, but my back hurts." You know, there's a lot of things that people say when you're a guy that is said in a different way than when you're a gal.
How do you get past that? Do you listen in a different way then as a doctor?
Yeah. I mean, it has a lot to do with listening. Sometimes you don't say, "Oh, well, obviously your problem is depression."
Right.
But I can tell you that for certain problems, whether it, and oftentimes it's real back pain.
Right.
The antidepressants will help real back pain. When you have real back pain, it takes you down. You're not being functional. You feel sad about it. And when you treat with an antidepressant and with some rehabilitation type programs, and I mean, the antidepressants help chronic pain. There's no question about that. Exercise is one of the very best treatments for depression and for chronic pain. And so, you just have to really listen and sense what they're really telling you, and look at innovative ways of treating men. Men are, you know, they need an innovative listening doctor and a caring person, and someone who can hear the innuendo.
Right. When you talked with the doctors from Urology Associates, are there vastly different issues from that they see when they see male patients as when they see, because they see both, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they also, I mean, you know, let's face it, guys have prostates that block, you know,
sure.
And urine flow is an issue for a lot of guys. And they don't want to talk about it. But sometimes you just say, how is that urine flow? Or how is your sexual function? Or, you know, those are issues that if you bring them up, the guy will talk about it. And there's interesting issues. For example, if a guy is having urine flow problems and they're still sexually functioning, then, you know, the medications that we have for benign prostatic hypertrophy that shrink it sometimes also works against the testosterone issues and sexual function. So you need to be aware of that. So there are just ways of handling things depending upon where the guy is in his life.
Mm.
I want to bring up one other issue before I lose time. Last night it struck me, because we talked about this on the radio yesterday with my local AM radio talk show in Brookings, that men are reluctant to get their colonoscopies.
Mm.
And one of the questions was having to do with an advertised thing. Here's how you can check your stool for blood, and 90% of the time it will pick up colon cancers. And so guys can think, and maybe wrongly impressed by the fact that you don't need to do colonoscopies. You can do the stool for blood test and you can get 90% of the colon cancer, but you won't get the precancer polyps. And so you have to realize that the stool check for blood is a great idea. Do it every year on your own, for goodness sake, but don't skip your colonoscopy at 50, because you can save your life by finding the precancer polyps. It's misinformation, really. It'll pick up 90% of your cancers. That's a misinformation, that misleading. You need to have colonoscopies, and guys are more reluctant to get colonoscopies than girls, than gals. And so make sure you do your colonoscopy at 50. That's an important thing, guys. And gals, too.
Yeah.
Get that test at 50, or if there's blood in your stool, for goodness sake, or if there's a family history, start doing those hemocult tests, the blood in your stool tests at 40.
Right.
For sure.
What's the role of those tests then, the sort of, you know, what are being marketed as a more non-invasive test? And we've had a couple conversations about that. Mm-hmm. With doctors who say, you know, sometimes that is all you can get a patient to do.
To do. That's right.
It's a place to start, right?
It's a place to start. That's right. But I would do them every year, particularly if there's a family history. And if you're reluctant, don't let that be and it's an excuse, and I don't need to have a colonoscopy.
Mm.
But if that's all you'll do, all right, do it. But I really hate to let it be the excuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There it is.
All right. Some of the other issues. How do you know when it's a problem and you need to bring up to your doctor, you know, that there's something going on with urine flow, for example?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you have to get up more than two times at night certainly that's a clue. But I can tell you that might also be a clue for sleep apnea.
Sure.
And so it's not always the prostate. I have a friend who took the found he had sleep apnea, and now he sleeps all the way through the night instead of getting up every 1 or 2 hours because of his sleep apnea. You know, and when a guy gets up, wakes up in the night, what do you think he does? Well, he gets up and pees. You know, that's what you just kind of do. But getting up at night can, and frequency at night can also mean heart failure. Mm. It can also mean other things. So that's a rough clue. It's something you should talk to your doctor about for sure. And if you're snoring, certainly a at-home O2 oximeter test for sleep apnea is also another thing to consider.
Right. How often should men come in for just a regular checkup? And do they resist that? I mean, is it an annual checkup enough? Is it when do you go to the doctor?
Yeah, I like the idea of a yearly exam starting at 50 for sure. And men should do that. Certainly to develop a relationship with the primary care provider so that you have somebody you trust, you have somebody you can talk to, you have somebody that you know. And you develop a relationship. Yeah, you know, I cannot emphasize the value of a primary care provider for people as they get older. And, you know, there's new data now that looks at primary care providers in treating diabetes, and they find that they're even better at treating diabetes than are the endocrinologists. Hmm. Now, I mean, I take that with a little bit of a grain of salt because sometimes the tough cases are the ones that get shuttled off to the endocrinologist, and so your studies are biased right by that. But I think that having a primary, if everybody had a primary care doctor, there would be a lot less emergency room visits, there would be a lot less costs, there would be a lot better prevention, and then you would have somebody as you develop a problem. You can call with the guy. If you live in a little town, they called me on my home phone number because it's listed. And so, I mean, you know, those are the things that having a primary care provider can do. You know, you develop a friendship, a relationship, and then you can ask those questions that you probably wouldn't ask if all you do is go to the subspecialist for your subspecialty problem.
Hmm. Dr. Rick Holm, On Call with the Prairie Doc is on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain. Tonight's episode is a rebroadcast talking all about men's health. Dr. Holm, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.